Here's a resource for your high school or college-age child or grandchild as they begin a new school year. It's Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students. You'll find an introduction with answers to questions like, is the Bible reliable and trustworthy? Who wrote the Bible? And more. You can order Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students.
You are in a very special place. Right now, you are at the Holy of Holies of the Son of the Book, where the Dead Sea Scrolls are kept. I invite you to read the same words from the Bible on the internet version and to enjoy the content of the prophet Isaiah. The most important cultural treasure of the Jewish nation is the great Isaiah scroll. The second largest scroll discovered in Qumran caves, containing all the 66 chapters of the prophet Isaiah you have in our Bibles.
That's Adolfo Reutemann. He's curator of the Dead Sea Scrolls and head of the Shrine of the Book, talking about the new availability of the Dead Sea Scrolls online. You used to, if you wanted to see them, have to go someplace where they were large facsimiles. You used to have to actually go there and look at them yourselves, and that was for only a privileged few. You used to have to be a professional scholar to get access to most of this. Now everyone has access. Joining us to talk about the availability of the Dead Sea Scrolls online, Dr. Nathan Jastrom, chairman of the Department of Theology and Philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Dr. Jastrom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here again.
What does this mean for someone like you, who deals with these resources, these ancient texts professionally, to have access to them online?
The images that are online are truly spectacular. Even when you have access to the actual fragments, you can see some things with your naked eye that you can't see in an image on the computer screen. But you can also see some things on the computer screen that you can't see just with your naked eye. They took such high-resolution photographs on the computer that you can blow these images up and you can have the image fill your entire screen. And sometimes you can see where cracks of leather might be. Sometimes you can see where flecks of ink might be off. So it's just wonderful that these very high-resolution photographs have been made available so that anybody who has an interest in the actual evidence can take a look and see for himself.
With a few minutes before we take our first break, what are the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Well, they're scrolls that were found in caves close to the Dead Sea. That's why they're called the Dead Sea Scrolls. About roughly 1,000 manuscripts or so, but most of them in very fragmentary condition, and dating from about 250 years before Christ to about 68 years A.D. So it's a nice span of about 300 years that reveals the types of writing that Jews at that time were writing and reading right around the time of Jesus and even before he was born.
You say fragmentary. When you say that, explain exactly what you mean.
Well, only about 9 of these scrolls were preserved looking anything like scrolls. The hundreds of other scrolls now look like little bits and pieces. Many of them may be the size of a quarter or some even smaller. So these scrolls have been preserved only fragmentarily, not in nice rolled out forms, except for about 9 scrolls, 5 of which you can now see on the internet.
And what territory of the Bible do they cover? What books of the Bible will we find there in addition to other writings?
You can find nearly every book of the Bible, of the Old Testament, preserved among the Dead Sea Scrolls. They haven't found any fragment yet from the very small book of Esther, and they haven't found a fragment from Second Chronicles, but they have found fragments of, at least fragments, from every other book of the Old Testament.
When we come back, what kind of a breakthrough is this? Not only to have these scrolls in physical form, but now on the internet for everyone to see. Dr. Nathan Jastrom is our guest. The Dead Sea Scrolls are now available online to be seen. He joins us to talk about them. He's chairman of the Department of Theology and Philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, September the 27th. If you have a question or a comment for Dr. Jastrom on the Dead Sea Scrolls, now's the time. 10 minutes on the other side of the break. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
What makes Christ our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. Issuesetc.org. Stay connected. Issuesetc.org.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes in the program. Dr. Nathan Jastrom is our guest, chairman of the Department of Theology and Philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He has published the first edition of the Book of Numbers of the Dead Sea Scrolls. We're talking about the availability of those scrolls now online. Dr. Jastrom, have they been thoroughly categorized? I mean, do we know where every fragment fits or where every fragment is from with respect to the biblical text?
I wish I could say yes to that. We've done so much work on this and made great advance, but there are still some small fragments that we're not certain where they belong. It can be that they preserve very little, and we don't find any case where those letters, lined up just as they are, appear in our current Bible, and it's possible that they spelled a word slightly differently or whatever that prevents us from identifying the precise location. And then there are other some very small fragments that could fit in so many different places that we can't say, I know it belongs here. So those very small fragments like that, some of them still remain unidentified for precise location. But I've got to say, we have identified great locations that fit perfectly for just a huge number of the fragments that have been discovered.
Those parts that are not, well, not completely destroyed, those parts that are still basically in scroll form, mm-hmm. What parts of the Bible do they cover?
Oh, they cover all the Old Testament books, everything except for that small book of Esther and any portion of the Second Chronicles. And it's likely that those books also were preserved or were used by that society, but that they simply didn't survive the ravages of time. We're just thrilled that anything survived and that so much of the Old Testament survived is just a marvel. In addition to those biblical texts that survived, we have maybe three-quarters of all the fragments belong to scrolls that were not part of the Bible, just part of the library of the people who lived in that area, a separatistic Jewish sect that was alive and functioning around the time of Jesus. So we have hundreds of manuscripts now that give us a feel for how people were thinking and the writing that they were doing before and during the time of Jesus' life.
So they date to that time at or before the first century B.C., and they reflect not only kind of the general Jewish body of literature, but this particular group that was kind of out of the mainstream of Jewish religious life.
Yeah, there's some debate about that, of course, as scholars always debate when the answers aren't absolutely clear. But the general consensus is that many of these scrolls were composed by a group called the Essenes, which is a group that corresponds to something like the Pharisees and the Sadducees that we read about in the Bible. Well, in addition to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, there was also a group called the Essenes, and we didn't know much about them at all other than what we had read in a Jewish historian named Josephus. And then these Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, and there were so many points of similarity between what the scrolls said and what Josephus said about this group that most scholars are convinced that there was some close connection between the Essenes and most of these scrolls.
How do they compare to other manuscripts, these handwritten, hand-copied productions of the Old Testament scriptures, date-wise? Are there others that are close to them as ancient? How far apart are they?
These are the absolute oldest forms of the Hebrew Bible that have been discovered. That's why they're so very, very important. If you want to go to complete manuscripts of the Old Testament, you have to go all the way down to 1008 A.D. before you get to a complete manuscript of the Old Testament, which is the manuscript that most of our translations use as their major manuscript, 1008 A.D. Now we've discovered such incredible finds from even the time of Christ or even a little bit before. So it's a jump of about 1,000 years to the next complete manuscript. Now, we did have some fragmentary manuscripts that come from a little bit earlier than that 1,000 date. We had some, say, from the 800s, some from the 900s, but this really is an incredible find, and that's the reason why people are so excited about this actual evidence from this early.
Have the discovery of these added anything significant to our understanding or questions regarding the Hebrew text of the Old Testament? In other words, have they answered previously unanswered questions based upon the manuscripts that we had up to that point?
Yes, they have. The main question they've answered is how faithfully the Hebrew text had been transmitted for all those years. Before these manuscripts were discovered, we had theories, and some scholars believe that the text had changed dramatically from the time of Christ until this 1008 AD manuscript. And other scholars said they didn't think that it had changed much at all. So you have these theories without hard evidence. And now, having discovered these manuscripts, we can say without any theorizing going on at all, just on the basis of the facts, we know that the biblical text was transmitted very, very accurately. Having said that, there are some cases where there are some differences of reading, and scholars now have more tools to try to figure out which of the possibilities is more likely to be the most original reading. For instance, when I was working with the Book of Numbers, I found hundreds of small variations in the readings that exist between my manuscript and the other standard manuscript, most of those readings can be shown to be secondary variations, that the scribe had added an explanatory word or the scribe had harmonized with an earlier part of the chapter. So there are some different readings, but now we have more tools, more evidence to figure out which one is most likely to be the original reading that was first put down in that book.
I mean, they were discovered quite some time ago, but it kind of speaks to the care and, well, to be quite frank, the slowness of biblical scholarship, that they are still contributing. They're still being incorporated into sound biblical scholarship surrounding those texts, doesn't it?
Yeah, and a lot of work has gone in to try to make as much as many conclusions as possible from the evidence. Like I said, many of these documents are in very fragmentary state, so it can take years of work on one small fragment to finally figure out the full contribution that that fragment can make, and that includes even reconstructing the writing that would appear in the blank spaces, the spaces that are no longer preserved, just to see which type of reading would have fit best in the available space, and to theorize about the total content of that column rather than just the part that had actually been preserved on the animal skin.
Well, what now is available for everyone to see online, you have actually laid your eyes on. You've actually been in the presence of some of these scrolls. We've only got about a minute, but give us your briefest account of actually looking with your own eyes on these 2,000-plus-year-old copies of the Old Testament.
It's a hair-raising experience. Even now, as I think about it, the hair on my back is standing up a bit. You played a little clip from Adolfo Reutemann, the Shrine of the Book curator. I've been in that room. I've seen these scrolls with my own eyes, and there's just something about seeing a document that could have been in a synagogue at the time of Jesus, when Jesus would come in and read from the Isaiah scroll in the synagogue where he went. He would have been reading, if not this particular scroll, another scroll looking like it. It's just it's that connection, the physical connection with the artifacts from the time of Jesus Christ that I find so very, very just overwhelming.
Dr. Nathan Jastrom is chairman of the Department of Theology and Philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He has published the first edition of the Book of Numbers from the Dead Sea Scrolls. Dr. Jastrom, thank you for your time this afternoon.
It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
You know, we talk a lot on this program about the scholarship that goes into sound biblical study, and sometimes that scholarship stays in the mind or the study or the classroom of the scholar, and sometimes, thank goodness, it finds its way down to the rest of us in a way that we can digest it. We don't perhaps know the original languages of the Old and New Testament. Well, to be a good and faithful student of Scripture, it would help to know those, but not everyone can. That's why we have our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, especially for young students of the Bible. It's called Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students. It reflects this scholarship. It gives good, brief, and accurate introductions to every one of the books of the Bible in their order. It's just a good place to begin for a young student of the Bible for a lifetime. Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students. Call Concordia Publishing House. Order one for someone you know. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll begin a weekly series with Dr. Andrew Steinman of Concordia University Chicago on the chronology of the Bible. He's got this amazing book called From Abraham to Paul, where he really has assembled something that, to my knowledge, has not been assembled before, a chronology, a biblical chronology drawing upon the very best knowledge and scholarship that we have. We'll begin that series with him tomorrow on Issues Etc., with the earliest of those chronologies. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.